Well, good morning. Glad to be with you here. What I'd like to do today is give, typically a Gideon presentation is about 10 minutes, but Pastor Wayne asked me also to take the whole service, and I get to do that probably five times a year, as different pastors will call on us as Gideons to fill in for them when they're on vacation. So, just to introduce myself, I actually live here in Regent Park, been here for 23 years, going to be here for two more weeks. We sold our house, and we're going into a temporary duplex, but I think we're going to end up moving to Aiken. We made a house offering a house yesterday, and that's going to be our retirement place and our place of ministry, because when you're a chaplain and a Gideon, you can minister anywhere, can't you? So we're looking forward to that a little nervously, and been packing, have a few reminders of boxes, like about every joint, but looking forward to what God has for us. So the Gideons have given out New Testaments in many different situations. We say we put Bibles in the highways and byways of life. We put Bibles where people are distressed, in jails, in hospitals, in medical facilities. We also go to different festivals. The Indian Lamb Festival has allowed us to give out testaments for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, except for the COVID shutdown. And we've given out anywhere from 400 to 800 New Testaments on a Saturday there. We've given testaments to the Fort Mill National Guard Armory. We set up the new hospital in Fort Mill with Bibles and New Testaments for the nurses. And we look for every opportunity to do that. But I want to share with you just a couple of testimonies here. So this name may not be familiar to you until I give you a little more of the story. But Nancy Wrightbowl, she actually lives here in Regent Park. And why her name may or may not be familiar is, if you remember back before COVID, there was a virus called Ebola. And there was a doctor and a nurse there in Africa that had Ebola, and they were flown home, flown to Atlanta, and they were cared for there, and they both recovered, thankfully. Well, Nancy and her husband David live just right over here in Regent Park. They go to Calvary Church, and she's shared a story with a fellow Gideon of mine that when she was taken out of Africa, they burned every stitch of clothing. They burned their books. They burned her Bible. She literally left there with nothing and was upset when she got here, laying in bed in a hospital and didn't have a Bible. Well, her son was staying in a hotel in Atlanta, and she said, you know, I really miss my Bible. I need my Bible. He goes, okay, I'll steal the Gideon Bible out of the hotel and bring it tomorrow. So that was a little bit of an unplanned distribution of Bibles, but they travel far and wide. Another testimony, this was from a gentleman who actually gave his testimony at our pastor's appreciation banquet last October. His name is Louis Venable. Now, Lewis grew up in kind of the Loras area of South Carolina, and he remembers growing up with his grandparents until he was 8 years old. He knew his parents had issues, but his grandparents were very loving and very kind and spoke of the Bible. Well, when he was 8 years old, his father showed up and said, boy, you're coming home to live with me and your mother. And his dad was very abusive, and he had a very tough life. He started to get in trouble in school. Fortunately, there was a principal took interest in him, knowing he was actually a very bright person that was failing school because of behavior issues. This principal helped tutor him to the top of the class, to state honors, and he was offered a scholarship. And they wanted him to go to the Citadel. He says, well, you know, I don't know anything about scholarships. I've never had more than $10 in my pocket. I have no way of paying for it. My dad's certainly not going to pay for it, so I can't go. Well, the school counselor said, no, I'm going to help you get a scholarship. So the counselor did that, received a full ride scholarship to the Citadel, which also included $100 spending money per month. Well, he thought he had arrived. He had money in his pocket. He was going to school. He graduated top of the class at the Citadel. He was offered some opportunities that very few people get offered. You have to be the brightest and the best in order to get these offers. So he had these great opportunities, ended up as an officer on a ship. So on a ship, you have a limit of things you can do. And what his plan was, what his goal was, is to make as much money gambling with the other sailors as he possibly could. So he brought a Trivial Pursuit game. Well, he was smart enough, he practically memorized every answer in that box of Trivial Pursuit. So he was taking paychecks off of his fellow sailors. Well, of course, they got onto that and decided, yeah, we're not going to do that anymore. And one sailor brought a Bible Trivial Pursuit, and he was stumped. He didn't know anything about the Bible. A couple days later, he was in the officer's quarters, and he saw a Bible, and it said Gideon on it. So he went around and he started asking, who's this Officer Gideon? I want to see if I can borrow his Bible. And they said, well, no, that's a Gideon Bible. You can take the Bible. So he started reading the Bible. But he said, I was so ignorant. I didn't know about the books of the Bible. So I started reading in Genesis, and that was pretty interesting. Then I started getting into Exodus, and I was okay. But when he got to the worshiping and blood and burning stuff, of animal parts, he said, I didn't think I wanted anything to do with this religion that was in the Bible. Fortunately, he went on to join a church and learned how to study the Bible. But he introduced me that night to a book called How I Can Study the Bible for Myself. Now, I went to Bible school in college, Northwestern College, up in Minneapolis, it was St. Paul, actually. And you had to get a one-year Bible certificate to get any kind of degree. So I've studied Bible. I've been in church. I've taught classes. I've been a Gideon for 15, 20 years. My father-in-law was a Gideon. So I know quite a bit about the Bible. I've studied hermeneutics. I've studied a lot of different things, used commentaries, all these kinds of things. And I've read through the Bible. Now, reading through the Bible was a hard task for me. I understood it a lot more than Mr. Venable did. So I knew there were different parts to the Bible. But it just impressed on me hearing him talk about how much we need to learn to study the Bible for ourselves. And I'll come back to that as part of the presentation here of our message today. The last testimony I want to share with you is my wife and I adopted three children from Colombia. So we adopted our son in Bogota, Colombia, and 2 years later we adopted our daughters in Pasto, Colombia. Our son was 7, 2 years later our daughters were 7 and 8. And we felt, you know, if we gave them a good home, if we taught them from the Bible, they would become Christians. Right? I mean, if you have that all around you, certainly you're going to become a Christian. Well, I can tell you, up until a year ago, March, none of the three were Christians. None of the three, I mean, they became saved, you know, when their children are home. They were baptized, but the second they got on their own, they had enough issues from being abandoned. Our daughters were abandoned as babies. Our son was sent away from his mother when he was 6 or 7 years old. And the rejection and the issues from that, I'm still surprised how little we could affect. What, I mean, personally, humanly, very little effect into the lives of these three kids. But a year ago in April, I'm talking to our son, and he's visiting us, and Cheryl and I are talking about the Gideons and what we're doing. And we also used to do a worship service every other Sunday at Assisted Living. And we asked him again, you know, do you know that you're saved? And he said, God made a mistake when he made me. God can't love me. I'm a mess. And I took out the helps that are in the Gideon Bible, and I started going through it, and I said, no, that's not true. That's Satan telling you that. And he accepted the Lord again, I would call it. But this time it was different. It wasn't very different from April till last October. And last October is when I heard Lewis Venable and I got that book. And my wife and I started going through different books of the Bible with him. And the Holy Spirit started working in his life. The change was overnight. It was dramatic. And I just thank God that one out of three are now going to spend eternity in heaven. And he knows it. He was so afraid because he just thought, there's no way I could get to heaven. He says, I know you believe in it. That's what he told us before. And I know you guys are going there, but I'm not. And now he says, I go to sleep at night, and I know I'm going to heaven. That's part of the lives that we lived in front of him. But we lived those same lives in front of our daughters. And we're still praying for that to happen with them. But when the Holy Spirit touches your heart and you understand the love of God, there's going to be a dramatic difference. I was just, you know, the reading we had this morning, Psalms 19, verse 7, it talks about the law of the Lord is perfect in restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. The precepts of the Lord are right. The commandments of the Lord is pure. What is that? That's the Bible, right? What do we find out? What do we know about God? We know it because we learn it in the Bible. Then the Holy Spirit takes over and helps teach us as we read the Bible and gives us that understanding. My son, for just being a Christian for less than a year, has blown my mind with some of the things he understands that I've heard preachers that have less understanding because it's from the Holy Spirit. So, as I move into talking a little bit more about how to study the Bible for yourself, I just want to, I've gone a little longer than I would be allowed to go for a Gideon presentation, but as far as the Gideons, we have a Bible app. You know, there's an app for everything, right? What better app to have on your phone than the Gideon Bible? I'm sure a lot of you have different Bibles. I think what's different about the Gideon Bible is it has all the helps. You know, if you're feeling this, if you're questioning something about your character, somebody else's character, and it lists all the different verses, you can flip that phone out, turn that app on, and what do you always have with you? Are you always carrying your Bible? Yeah, probably not. Do you always have a New Testament in your pocket? Yeah, probably not. Do you always have one of these? Yep. So having this on your phone, I've got app cards over there. After the service, I'll be over there if you want to donate to the Gideons or pick up a supply of these Bible app cards. Parents, make sure your kids have one. Grandparents, make sure your grandkids have them. You never know when someday your child, your friend, your co-workers going to be bored, going to be in a troubled situation, and will go to that app and go, well, I wonder what's in here, and can come to find the Lord. We have the Gideon card program. I'm not sure if you have the Gideon cards in your church. Another thing we started to do last year is Vacation Bible School. If you have Vacation Bible School, tell us how many New Testaments you would like to have for those that come to the Bible school, and we'll provide those testaments for you to give out. We'd also ask you to pray for the Gideon program and know that we are praying for you. This experience I had with this testimony of Lewis Venable, he's gone out now with that book. He's given out over 1,400 of those books to people that he's led to the Lord on how do I study the Bible for myself. And he also is working in a church revitalization program with the Southern Baptists, and he's up in the upstate area by Tomasi or something right now, working with a church. So when, as Gideons, we meet every Saturday morning. I'm the church administrator, so we pray every Saturday morning for three or four churches in the area. And I contact the pastors, see what prayer needs they have. I talked to Pastor Wayne. He said, well, we're going into a program, church revitalization. I said, well, I'm pretty interested in that. So I've actually sat in on a couple of the sessions that your committee has had. And am very excited to be part of that. But as Gideons, we pray for all our churches. We pray for your church. We pray for your revitalization. We also pray for your revival, your personal revival, your church's revival. The church is revitalizes. We as individuals are see revival in our own lives and be more committed to studying God's word and to sharing it. Your church has gone through the conversations teaching that was provided by the Gideons, and I was able to sit on that. So you can be sure that every Saturday morning, about 7:15, we are praying for your church. And then we provide other resources, you know, speaking in churches, and we have ministries of handing out Bibles all over the world. In some places, they don't have the costs to cover it, the administrative costs. They don't have the money to cover the administrative costs. So we just started a Barnabas program, whereas Gideon's we give to help pay for the administrative costs, because not a penny of any money that's donated from a church or an individual goes for anything else except to buy scriptures and to spread those scriptures. So that's also, if you ever are interested in being a Gideon, our local chapter meets in Fort Mill at the Church of Nazarene. It's been designed since back in the early 1900s for Christian businessmen, professional salespeople, doctors, professional people. The idea is because one of the main ministries of being a Gideon is giving money to pay for scriptures. If you join a Gideon, the first thing you're going to hear about is, well, we have this banquet. Okay, what's the banquet about? Give as much money as you can. And we have goals for the camp. We have goals for the state. We have goals for the United States. We have international goals of how much money can we raise and how many scriptures can we buy and then distribute them all over the world. So if you're interested in that, and like I say, there's plenty other things we do. There's a Friend of the Gideons program where you can actually buy Bibles from the Gideons. It won't say Gideon on, but if you wanted a supply to hand out. But I still go back to the Bible app card. When we go to restaurants, we put them with our tip. When we stay at hotels, we leave them on the nightstand. Everywhere we go, everyone we talk to, and I go to a doctor's appointment, I'll that, you know, what's the first thing people ask you when you're getting acquainted? Well, what do you do? Well, I'm retired, so I can't talk about my job, but I'm a Gideon, and here's an app card you can put on your phone. So if anybody asks me who I am, what I do, the first thing I'm able to say is I'm a Gideon and give them an app card to put on their phone. Okay, how to study the Bible for yourself. So what will Bible study do for you? 1 John 2:14 says it'll strengthen you as a Christian. 1 John 5:13 says it'll assure you of salvation. 1 John 15 says it'll give you power and confidence in prayer. 1 John 1:9 says it'll cleanse you from sin. You might see a little pattern here. These verses are all coming from 1 John. So one of the things in this book, he says, pick up a small book of the Bible and study it. And he suggested study 1 John. It's only 4 chapters, and it has these wonderful topics in that small book. John 15:11 says studying the Bible will give you joy. John 16:13 says it'll produce peace. Psalms 119, if you go to the middle verse in that chapter, to the middle chapter, the middle verse, you'll be at the exact middle of the Bible, and it'll talk about writing the laws on your heart. How you need to know the Bible, how that knowing that Bible is what is going to help you live a Christ-filled life. So those are the things that you can learn in your individual Bible study. Before we talk about doing it, I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 13. So this is where Jesus starts teaching in parables. And one of the first parables he teaches is the sowing of the seed. So what's the seed? The seed's the Bible. The seed is God's word, right? Now, not everybody got it. And Jesus had to explain it to the disciples a little earlier. But this is what he said, starting in verse 3. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns and thistles, and the thorns came up and choked them out. Others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And then if you flip over to verse 18, Jesus explains this parable. He says, hear then the parable of the sower. When someone hears the word of God of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road. So that seed that fell on the roadside, no dirt, the birds ate it. If you ever tried to seed your lawn, you know how that happens. And the one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself. So it is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, but the worry of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom the seed was sown on good soil, this is a man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth much, hundredfold, some 60 and some 30. So, as a Gideon, and one of the reasons I became, well, first reason I became a Gideon was because my father-in-law was a Gideon, and he was always, you need to be a Gideon, the Gideons do good work. You know, we need to be about spreading God's word. After I was at Gideon for a while, I thought, you know, there's not a lot I do to share my faith. I mean, I teach Sunday school. I live a life that I try to live a life that is a witness, but I'm not really sharing the gospel. So I thought, well, you know, the least I can do is if I hand out scriptures, that's like sowing seed. That's just scattering it out there. And someday, somewhere, and we have all these testimonies where that word gets picked up and God uses it as the time to work in somebody's life. But we need to go deeper in that, don't we? We don't want to just scatter the seeds and hope something happens. But the most important thing we need to do and learn from that parable, I think, is what are we doing with God's word that was sown in our hearts? Each one of you is here because somewhere, sometime, some seed was scattered about God's word, whether it was a family you grew up in, through somebody you knew, an invitation to come to church. Somewhere, sometime, you learned there was a Bible. You believe there's a God. You believe it enough to show up in church. So that's great, and that's a good start. And there's many things we can learn from being in church. But we have a greater responsibility, don't we? We should be that seed that produces 100-fold or 30-fold at least, produces something. And in order to do that, we're going to have to, what the farmers call, cultivate. We're going to have to get rid of those things that distract us, those thorns, that rocky soil. We need to be able to stand up under the sun. We can't do that unless we're studying God's word. So what I'm asking you today is to really evaluate on your own, could you stand up to a pressure of telling somebody, this is my story, this is my testimony, this is how I came to know the Lord, this is how it changed my life. I now understand and can share it. So in order to do that, you're going to have to learn your Bible pretty good. So how do you do it? You read the Bible. I know from sitting in on your meeting that the committee and pastor is going to roll out a daily Bible reading. And, you know, I was talking about trying to read the Bible and starting in Genesis and trying to read it through to Revelations. That's a pretty tough assignment. But there's different divisions in the Bible, isn't there? The Bible's really a library of books. And the reading plan that I have, and it's going to look very similar when it comes out, the one that they're producing, but this one is to read the whole Bible in a year. The one that the church is working on is to set up to, you know, not make you read six chapters in Leviticus, but it's broken down into the law. So what books of the Bible would be the law? The Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible that Moses wrote, the Bible that the Jewish people had. Then you start with Joshua and you see the history of the Jewish people, right? Joshua took them in the lands, they conquered, then they started to have prophets, Samuel, that led them, and different judges, and then they wanted a king. Oh, was that a bad choice? Got some bad kings, had some good kings, had a lot of bad kings. Bad things happen when you have bad kings. So the way this is set up is Monday you read the law, Tuesday you read history, Wednesday you read the Psalms. And the Psalms are spread out to last. So every Wednesday, the whole year, you're reading from the Psalms. The next division is poetry. So what would the poetry books be? Well, it starts with Job, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. So Job may be a real story, or it may be an allegory, but there's much we can learn. Proverbs, who wrote Proverbs? Oh, just the wisest man there ever was on the face of the earth, Solomon. who was given wisdom above and beyond any man. So why not read some of that wisdom book? Ecclesiastes, kind of a different book, because it talks about, I tried this. Solomon fell away from the Lord. He had wives and concubines and riches and too much time on his hands. But in the end, he understood that apart from God and God's word, everything we do on this earth is just a waste of time and just striving under the sun. The next section on Friday is prophecy. So you start with the Old Testament books of the prophet, Isaiah, Jeremiah. On Saturday, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then it ends with Acts in the beginning of the church. And Sunday is the epistles. So that plan takes you through the Bible, and you're not stuck in Leviticus for a month. And I'm really excited about the plan that your church is, I don't know if it's been presented yet or when it'll be presented, but I know I saw a copy of it. I know it's coming. Okay, I see it back there. So I really want to encourage you to do that. Reading through book by book will give you such a better understanding and learning the history. So daily Bible reading, it requires a regular reading time. It requires a regular place. You can read and take notes in a devotional book or a diary. Then from there, once you're doing the daily reading, there's methods for reading the Bible. You can read it by books, which we talked about. Take 1 John and start it there. The recommendation he made is to read 1 John every day. Read the whole book every day for a week. So I studied 1 John a little bit, not too much. I read it every day for a week. I thought, yeah, that sounds like the things I've heard for a long time. And then I was going to teach it to our men's golf group. Every Friday morning, there's a group of men. We have Bible study from 7:30 and then go golfing. So I went through this, how to study the Bible, and I said, okay, now we're going to study the book of John. Well, that first Friday morning, I was supposed to teach. The night before, I'm trying to study, and I'm like, I'm not really forming an outline here. I'm not really understanding this. And, I've taught quite a bit, and I really got stumped, and I'm like, well, I might have to call him and tell him I can't do this. And I thought, well, of course I can't do this. And I haven't prayed. I haven't got on my knees. I haven't asked the Holy Spirit to teach me this. So I did pray. And I was laying on the couch, and I just prayed, Lord, I've got an outline written down. It doesn't mean anything. Give me meaning to present in this study of 1 John. Got up, opened it up, same words, understood it completely. At the end of that Bible study, men were sharing their testimony of how they got saved and when the Lord really spoke to them and how it changed their lives. So you need some self-discipline to read the Bible. So if you read it when you feel like it, are you going to feel like it every time? Maybe, maybe not. But read it when you don't feel like it. Make a sacred vow to God. One guy said, well, for me, it's no breakfast if there's no Bible first. So I'm either going to get very hungry or I'm going to go read my Bible. And not to make an exception. So we talked about the different categories. In the Old Testament, you have those different books of the prophets. In the New Testament, the categories, I broke it down a little bit, but the Gospels are the life of Christ, right? That's what happened when he came to earth. Acts is the start of church history. The epistles and the letters, written by Paul and the other apostles, they're for teaching, and then you have prophecy and revelations. The other thing he talked about in this book is God reveals himself in three different ways. So what are these three different ways? Have you ever been if you think of the most beautiful place you've been, and it was quiet, and and just beyond words beautiful. God can speak to you through creation, can't he? You can look at the vastness of the stars or the vastness of the ocean. Or for me, one time I grew up in northern Minnesota. I was snowmobiling. It was 20-some degrees below zero. The snow just gets powder hard when it's like that. I turned off the snowmobile, and it was just perfect, complete silence. This was out in the country on a farm, and the stars were unbelievable. And I looked at that and looked around and said, you know, God is really vast and immeasurable. And you just get that understanding of that greater power through creation. Of course, we understand God being revealed in the Gospels, in the Bible, in the study of the Holy Word, and also by the Holy Spirit, which is really essential. Different ways to study your Bible. You can study it by books, as we've talked about. Pick an easy book. You can study it by chapters. There's 1,189 chapters. And he suggests 12 chapters that we should all really study. And I've mentioned this book to Pastor Wayne, and I'll send him a copy, and if any are interested in getting it. You can study by topics. You can study character studies. You know, you've had the preachers do that, but you can do that on your own. And then I'll just close with some of the tools for Bible study. So when I talked about my son reading the Bible, that April to October period, he wasn't getting anything out of it. And I said, well, you know, you had a lot of the Bible in Awana when you were a kid, but this is 30 years later now, and you haven't studied the Bible. So you're going to probably need some help. So I can explain some things to you, but there's also what they call a commentary. And a commentary is a book written by a Bible scholar, so they can help explain things that don't make sense to you. And my wife and I have always liked Warren Wiersbe's commentaries. So we got him this commentary and said, read the Bible, read a few chapters, go to the commentary. He kind of divides it up by topics and certain chapters. So see what the first lesson talks about, which verses in the Bible, read that, read the commentary, go back and read those again. He called me up the next day and he said, this is unbelievable. He says, I was reading the Bible and I didn't get it. But once I read the commentary and went back, he said, it's just so different. It just made sense. I understood it. And I said, that's the help we need. We're not preachers. We're not schooled in how to study the Bible. But there's so many resources available. So a commentary, a study Bible. My Bible goes back and has words that are in Greek and Hebrew, because there's, you know, just like words in the English language, there's multiple meanings for a word. And sometimes seeing what these other meanings could be for the actual Greek word can really help you understand what God is talking about. So the goal then is to increase our spiritual maturity. We don't want to be people who the word is easily snatched or the word is choked out by the things of this earth. You read those verses. I need a bigger space here. One last thing I was going to share. Here it is. And that's Mark 4:19. We talked about the things that choke out the word in our lives. And Mark 4:19 says there's three things that'll choke out God's word in your life. And it's the worries of this world. We all have those. The deceitfulness of riches. And this doesn't necessarily mean some dollar amount. We can have $10 in our pocket and want something for $11 and get consumed by the money we need to get what we want, and the desire for other things. You know, how many times and how much time do we spend working for something or another to the detriment of spending time with the Lord and of studying our Bibles. So I just want to challenge you. That seed has fallen on you. Are you a rocky roadbed? Are you a thorny, shallow soil? Are you a good soil, but other thorns and things have choked out the word in your life? Are you studying in your Bible that it is producing in your being able to share the gospel? Even if it's handing out a Bible app card, or if it's having a conversation, inviting somebody to church, doing something, and then being able to disciple somebody. If pastor came back and said, okay, I need 15 people to disciple 15 people I met this week, would you be willing to step up and say, yes, I can disciple somebody? Because the Lord called us to share the gospel and make disciples. It's not, we can be involved in different parts, one part more than the other, but the commandment doesn't say do one or the other. It says go, share the gospel, and make disciples. So we all have that personal responsibility. So I'm going to close in prayer, and then I've got the app cards over here and the Friends of Gideon information. Also, if you want to donate to the Gideons, again, be assured that that money will go to buy testaments. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your great love. We thank you that you sent your son to die for us. We thank you that that is the beginning of the first seed in our lives when we understand your great love for us, your great sacrifice, allowing your son to come to earth to bear the price of our sin, to be separated from you as he died on the cross, as you cannot be in the same place as our sin. But Jesus came, died for us, took our penalty, granted us this pardon, swept our sins away so that we can come into your presence. We thank you for that great gift. We thank you for your word. We thank you that through your Holy Spirit and through other believers, through pastors in our churches, we can come to understand what it is that you'd have us know to live a Christ-like, Christ-following life. We thank you for each one here. We thank you for your great love. In Jesus' name, amen.